We shall turn to the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 121. And we shall read the whole psalm, a song of degrees. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And with the Lord's help, we desire to consider verses 3 and 4. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The psalmist, at the beginning of this psalm, tells us that he is lifting up his eyes to the hills, because that is where Jerusalem is. That is where the temple is on Mount Zion. The temple was the place where God revealed himself. And God reveals himself in Christ. Remember, as Jonah said, I will look again toward thy holy temple. And so we are directed to look to Jesus. That is where our true help comes from. There, in Christ, is our real safety. This safety is real and sure because God's power is infinite. And we know that God is omnipotent, almighty, because he made heaven and earth. And if God created heaven and earth, then he can help us. He can truly help us in our particular need. Are we in deep straits? Are we feeling weak and unable to take a step forward? Look again to Christ. Look again to infinite power. Look to Jesus, who is God manifest in the flesh. He will help you. He will keep you safe. He will preserve you from all ill. Furthermore, there are things that God will not do, which is for the comfort of believers. As we have in our text, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. So as you, child of God, endeavor to go forward, God promises to give you a firm footing. He will keep you from slipping and falling. And the reason God gives you a firm footing is because there is something else that the Lord will not do. The one who keeps you will never sleep and will never slumber. He will always watch over you for your good. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And with the Lord's help, we will consider first the firm footing of believers, and secondly, the constant care of the Lord, and thirdly, the keeper of Israel. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. First, the firm footing of believers. Now, the sliding foot, the foot that is slipping, was a symbol of misfortune in ancient times, especially in the mountainous region like Canaan. A single slip of the foot could mean permanent disaster. And so our text is telling us that God will keep his people safe. He will keep them and prevent any complete lasting disaster or calamity or tragedy. God will keep his people from all ill. And it has been said that these words are actually being used as a prayer. May he not suffer to be moved thy foot. May thy keeper never slumber. And of course, the Lord will never slumber. It is impossible for him to sleep or to be ignorant of the needs of his people. But the psalmist is saying, may the Lord always take care of you. We are assured that he will. And we take this as a declaration of God's upholding power and grace on behalf of his people. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God will not allow his people to slip and fall spiritually. He will not allow them to slip away into foul falls when they are trusting in him. And he will not allow them to fall totally nor finally away from him. And even in temporal things, the Lord promises safety and help. He will not let his people totter and slip, even in temporal things, according to God's will and for their ultimate good. And the main point is that he will never let them go beyond his keeping. He will never let them go beyond his upholding power. In other words, God will take care of his people soul and body. He will take care of his people totally, entirely. As Spurgeon puts it, if our foot will be thus kept, we may be sure that our head and heart will be preserved also. So God will keep his people entirely. Now, this again tells us that all things are in God's control. He will not suffer. He will not allow thy foot to be moved. And the Lord permits things to happen, and he prevents things taking place. But all that takes place is because of God's foreordination and his providence. All events are in God's ordering, his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. And we need to remember that. Everything that has taken place today or that will take place tomorrow is because of God's wise permission, disposal, and ordering of all things. And therefore, we should never murmur or complain. We may be sad about some things, we may rejoice over other things, but we should never murmur or complain about anything that takes place. We should seek grace to be content. And we are assured from the word of God, the Lord Jesus tells us, not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father in his all-wise ordering of all things. And so we have an assurance given to us. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. How comforting this would be to travelers going to Jerusalem. It was certainly most suitable to them as they were journeying by degrees, making their ascent upwards to Jerusalem to worship God at the temple and the feast days, and how they would feel the need of being kept on their journey. They would need to have a sure step as they made the journey over rugged terrain at times. Now, friends, we are all making a journey, and we are all taking a journey onward to eternity. And the fact of the matter is that people, everyone, is taking this journey to spend eternity either in heaven or hell. There is the broad way and there is the narrow way. Oh, friend, which way are you traveling? We are all going to eternity. And are we prepared for this? Are we prepared to meet our Maker? Only by faith and repentance can we be truly ready. And how we need to flee to the Savior and repent of our sins and take the narrow way that leads to life, because the Scripture tells us, the Lord Jesus tells us, few there be that find it. Oh, that we might discover this narrow way and enter in at the straight gate that leads to life. Believers are journeying to the celestial city, and they feel the need to be kept all the way through. They desire a firm footing. And that footing it certainly includes, I believe, that walk of believers, which is the course of life that is agreeable to Scripture. And all believers are endeavoring to walk in a way that is becoming the truth of the gospel. The apostle warns us that many walk in a way that is contrary to God's laws and ways and the gospel. Their course of life is not consistent with the truth. But believers, are you one of them? They are following the path of righteousness. They desire that their conduct would be according to godliness. And by the grace of God, they do desire and they endeavor and they do, on the whole, walk uprightly. At times, they struggle with unbelief. Perhaps there's a poor, weak believer, even now, feeling overwhelmed in their particular condition, having a real sense of the danger surrounding them. Perhaps we are feeling even now that we are sinking and we're ready to cry out, oh, what a privilege it is to cry out to the Lord, that the Lord would help us and save us from sinking. As the psalmist says in Psalm 94, verse 18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. It's the mercy of God that holds us up. We don't deserve to be upheld. We don't deserve safekeeping. But it's the mercy of the Lord that endureth forever, which is the mainstay of believers. They are upheld by the grace of God in his love and compassion. Now, it is important for us to remember that God promises to keep those who look to him. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Remember, that's the starting point. Are we looking to the Lord? We need to be looking to the Lord, or we can't expect his help. We can't expect to be upheld and be kept from falling if we're looking away from the Lord. And so, if we are not watching over our hearts and looking to the Lord at the same time, then how can we expect not to fall into temptation? We're to keep our hearts with all diligence, watching over our frame of mind, recognizing the dangers that we're in, and in so doing and in being so exercised, we may well expect the Lord to keep our feet, to keep our feet from falling. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. God promises to preserve us from foul sins and falling into deep sin if we watch and pray, if we're looking to Jesus to keep us. But again, if we go astray and we fall into sin, we have only to blame ourselves, and the Lord will cause us to feel the painful consequences of departing from him. Know therefore and see, we are told in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Remember, even Peter had to bemoan himself, bewailing the fact that he had fallen. It goes even to the point where he was walking on the water, and as long as he was looking to Christ, he had a firm footing even upon the water. But then he began to sink. And why? Because he looked away from Christ. But the Lord caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So we're to keep looking to Jesus. And on the other hand, again, if we look away from him and we're not watching over our hearts and we're not praying earnestly to be kept, then we can expect to fall, as Peter fell when he denied his master. And what a sad thing it was. Satan desired to have him, to sift him as wheat. But the comforting truth is that the Lord Jesus even then upheld Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. So even when a true child of God may backslide, he or she can never fall from grace. And in that sense as well, the truth is brought before us clearly. He will not suffer thy foot to to be moved. He keeps his people. Satan may strike at our heels, but he cannot ruin us for eternity. He may sift us severely, but God will preserve us. And though Peter fell into sin, he was restored. God healed his backsliding, and it is only by grace that any of us stand, and we're to continue to look to Jesus. Oh, how we need grace, and the child of God will be praying for grace. Praying for quickening and upholding power, as we read in Psalm 17, verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Psalm 119, verse 117, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. So, friends, let us pray that by the grace of God we would walk uprightly, that the Lord would help us to maintain a consistent walk as believers. How beautiful and how comely it is in the sight of God. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O Prince's daughter, we read in Song of Solomon, chapter 7. So, friends, let us seek to be pleasing to our Master, as we read in Psalm 45. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And indeed, the Lord will give safety and well-being to his people as long as it is for his glory and for their good, for their true spiritual good. He will not withhold any good thing, including physical well-being and health and safety. As we sang in Psalm 91, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The Lord sends his angels to take care of his people, those who are heirs of salvation. They minister to their needs. We're not certain exactly how. Perhaps they ward off demons. Perhaps they angels keep God's people in physical safety and are instrumental in various physical forces to prevent their having accidents and going into great danger. We're not sure, but this we know. This is what we are told. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Of course, this is not to make us careless about taking safety precautions. We must not be reckless and venture into danger. We must not go into perilous situations needlessly. If we have to, then we're to trust in the Lord to keep us safe. But remember, we must not tempt the Lord, as the Lord Jesus told Satan. When Satan used this very verse in Scripture, he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So we must not tempt the Lord by being reckless and going into danger needlessly. But you see, these texts show us how the Lord takes care of his people, going down to the smallest details of their life. Nothing takes place without him. And the comfort and protection that they enjoy is in every way from the Lord. So we must not trust in man. We have to trust in the Lord, who sends even his angels to help his people. Now, we have various devices of safety here on earth to help us, and we may think that these things keep us safe, but ultimately our safety cometh from the Lord. And if the Lord doesn't bless these means of safety, then we're not safe. As we sang again in Psalm 127, that except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. They may do their very best to eye any possible danger, but if the Lord is not helping them and the Lord is not keeping this city safe, the danger will come anyway. Oh, how we need to be trusting in the Lord when it comes to even driving on the road. We're not to be trusting in our own stable hands on the steering wheel or our best watchful eye against oncoming traffic, but look to the Lord who controls our hands and the wheels and even the wheels of the other driver in the other direction. It's all of the Lord. Our real safety is from the Lord who created heaven and earth. There is our safety and our ultimate safety. Pure, complete safety is in regard to our souls. That the Lord will bring us safe to heaven at last if we are trusting in Him, believing in Christ for salvation, repenting of our sins, endeavoring to walk in a way that is right, looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. But let us rest assured, if we are looking to Jesus, then every aspect of our life is in His care. All is ordered by our wise and loving Father. The Lord in heaven, yes, will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Why? Because of this that He will not do. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. It's because the Lord never sleeps that the Lord's people are always safe. And so in the second place, the constant care of the Lord. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Is there ever a time in which the Lord does not look after his people? No, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. God constantly watches over his people. It may seem sometimes that the Lord sleeps, and God's people call upon the Lord, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake," as in the ancient days, and so on. "Lord, we pray thee to do now what thou hast done in the past." And so sometimes in Scripture, the word sleep describes apparent inactivity. It seems that the Lord is not active in working and helping his people. And then when the Lord's hand is seen to work, it's as if the Lord has awakened out of sleep. As we read in Psalm 78, verse 65, "Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep," and so on, "and he smote his enemies." And so it seemed as if the Lord awaked out of sleep when he was working on behalf of his people in a visible manner. But the truth is, the Lord never sleeps. We have two words for sleep in our text. He will not slumber nor sleep. And these are obviously two different words to describe sleep, and one word may be stronger than the other. It certainly is describing all kinds of sleep, whether it's deep sleep or light sleep or simple drowsiness. The Lord experiences none of it. He is always watchful, if we may say so, wakeful, looking after his people. His watchful eye is upon them at all times. So you see, sleep is a symbol of two things. One, forgetfulness, and two, carelessness. Now you see, workers may be forgetting their responsibilities. They may be sleeping on the job and forget what they have to do. They might say, well, they didn't mean to, but they got drowsy and they began to sleep and they forgot what they needed to do. But the Lord, who is the God of his people, is always faithful. He never is forgetful. He never loses sight of his people. And he is never indifferent or careless of them. Even parents, sadly, may neglect their duties and begin to be growing careless about their children. But the God who is the Father of his people always has compassion upon them. He cares for them at all times. And so believers are called upon again to cast their care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord's people again may be tempted to think that the Lord is neglecting them, that he is forgetting them. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14, "But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my God, my Lord, hath forgotten me." But God responds to their unbelief and says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. And here is the assurance that he will never forget his people. Verse 16, Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God's people are permanently in his presence. That is, he is continually looking after them, watching over them for their good. He is never indifferent toward them. He never ceases to look after them. He is always conscious, always omniscient, all-knowing, ever-present to help his people. He is never weary of what he has promised to do for them, though we may grow weary. Remember the disciples in Gethsemane, they began to slumber. Even when their master was in his greatest trial and need, his friends failed him. But the Lord never fails his people. And even though believers may be giving in to unbelieving thoughts, struggling with it, yet the Lord is ready to assure them. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and so on. Hast thou not known, he is telling them, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? If God has made all things, if he is the creator of the ends of the earth, how can it be possible he would ever grow weary? How is it possible he would ever cease to look after his people? Just as an army is very busy and marching and approaching the enemy territory, we read in Isaiah 5:27, None shall be weary nor stumble among them, none shall slumber nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. They are marching onward, onward, never sleeping, ready to attack the other army or foreign city. How much less the Lord will sleep when it comes to the needs of his people. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Friends, we can rest assured that the Lord will keep his people safe. We can sleep safely at night because God is ever awake to watch over us and keep us from harm. There's a story of a captain named Captain D, who was in a ship with passengers, and a great stormy wind came up and was blowing the ship back and forth and so on, and everyone in their cabins woke up with a crash. And Captain D had a little girl, 8 years old, and she woke up too, of course, she was seeing people panic and so on. Then she asked someone, Is father on deck? Remember, her father is Captain D. And someone replied, Yes, your father's on deck. Then the little girl hit her pillow again and fell fast asleep. All was well because her father was on deck. And so when we remember that God is over the universe, in control of all things, what reason do we have to give in to alarming fears when he is watching over us? He knows all things. A very stormy wind is in his hands, and his people are secure in his grasp. And he knows their needs before they ask, and they are assured from the word of God, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Why? Because he is the keeper of Israel. Thirdly, then, and here's the emphasis, that he is thy keeper, that he is the keeper of Israel. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And again, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. This is who God is, the one who keeps you and the one who keeps Israel. This is how he is identified, the God of Israel, the one who keeps his people. So he is the keeper of the individual believer, and he is the keeper of his people collectively. As Spurgeon puts it, mercy to one saint is the pledge of blessing to them all. And friends, this is why God's people will never slide. They will never slip. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Why? He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's always watching them to preserve them, and no wonder then their feet will not slip. God is faithful in keeping his promises. It is impossible for him to lie. And what else could be expected of him who loves his people with an everlasting love? God would not be God if he no longer helped his people. If he forgot his people, then he would not be the God of Israel. But he has promised, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is preserving his people and giving them spiritual well-being and eternal security. And yet we need to be praying to be kept to the God who keeps us. As David prays in Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. We should be praying and trusting, and we should be thankful to the Lord and bless him, because he does keep his people, and believers know that from experience. If the Lord had not been on our side, then we would be swallowed up, and our feet would slide away. Oh, bless our God, ye people, Psalm 66, verse 8, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. He will not take his watchful eye from us. He will preserve us from this time forth and even forevermore. God is always looking after his people, and his eye is on the sons of men, on everyone, watching them and indeed waiting for them to repent. He is sending his servants to preach his word, as we read in Jeremiah, rising early and sending them. And he has prepared salvation. If we may say so reverently, God is busy. He is active. He is never sleeping, even though poor sinners of the dust are sleeping away their lives and not seeking the Lord. Does that describe you, friend, tonight? God is still calling you. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Pray that you be spiritually awake, spiritually alive, having a new heart and repenting of sin, that you would not, oh friend, that you would not be fast asleep on the precipice of a lost eternity to wake up in hell. God is calling you. Turn to me and live, and may he send his Holy Spirit to enable you to come, that you might be saved from a lost eternity, from all sin and all evil and misery, that you might be able to say, with the psalmist in Psalm 116, verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, help us to thank thee for thy word. Bless thy truth to our souls, oh, that we might look to thee for safekeeping and upholding grace throughout the whole course of our lives, that our conduct, that our thoughts and attitudes would be consistent with the profession of the gospel, that we would die unto sin and live unto righteousness, looking to Jesus, the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Help us, we pray. Bless thy word. Help us to sing in conclusion thy praise to thy glory, and pardon all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will sing to God's praise from Psalm 66. Psalm 66, reading from verse 6. Into dry land the sea he turned, and they a passage had, even marching through the flood on foot. There we in him were glad. He ruleth ever by his power, his eyes the nations see. Oh, let not the rebellious ones lift up themselves on high. Ye people, bless our God. Aloud the voice speak of his praise. Our soul and life who safe preserves, our foot from sliding stays. For thou didst prove and try us, Lord, as men do silver try. Brought'st us into the net and made'st bands on our loins to lie. Thou caused men to ride o'er our heads, and though that we did pass through fire and water, yet thou brought'st us to a wealthy place. We will sing from verse 7 to verse 12, four stanzas to God's praise. He ruleth ever by his power.